And welcome back in. This is the Tennessee Star Report. You know, yesterday I was reading through sort of the Twitter stream of Phil Kirpin, who previously was vice president at Americans for Prosperity, is now president of the American Free Market Policy Group, American Commitment. It's a conservative 501 organization that he founded in 2012. He and I have actually run into each other repeatedly at Grover Norquist's regular weekly meetings and through Americans for Prosperity. So anyway, I'm reading through Phil's Twitter, and there's a picture of a building in Knoxville, Tennessee. And I'm going, wait a minute, I know what, I'm from Knoxville, I know that building. And then you kind of read through the rest of it, and you realize that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, her chief of staff, has been operating some sort of a scheme out of this little building in Knoxville, Tennessee, where they ran about 15, 16, 17 liberal Democrat congressional campaigns. Yeah, Knoxville, Tennessee. And at the same time, we're shuffling money from corporations to campaign accounts, paying AOC's boyfriend, which makes it look like it was just sort of a slush fund. And we thought we'd get Phil on to kind of give us the nutshell of what the heck is going on here. And Phil, good morning and welcome in.
Hey, good morning, Steve. Great to be with you.
You know, it's amazing when you just start pulling a thread, what continues to unravel. You find this building in Knoxville, and then you start checking at what other companies are located there, and you found, what, a dozen or more Democrat-liberal congressional campaigns being operated by this New American Congress scheme, operated by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's chief of staff, who's being paid less than most chief of staff so they don't have to disclose all his financial dealings.
Yes, exactly. This is the amazing thing. You know, I mean, they got these ultra-liberal socialist campaigns. They were primarying, you know, regular Democrats from the left. It's pretty hard to get to the left, by the way, of most Democrats these days. But this is sort of the extreme, extreme far-left socialist Democrat crew. And they had, you know, at least a dozen of these campaigns in places all over the country. And they put the entire back office campaign apparatus for all of these campaigns on Gay Street in Knoxville. So this is kind of amazing when you think about it, because you had the official campaign headquarters for Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's campaign in New York and for campaigns in Illinois and Pennsylvania, all other places all over the country. And they put all their employees in Knoxville, Tennessee, where they could pay them with no income tax. Which is amazing for a socialist operation that they would happen to choose that location, of course. And they also were getting a lot of money into this building, which was also the PAC headquarters for the for these two PACs, Brand New Campaign and Brand New Congress. Those are the LLCs.
Those are the corporate entities.
Yeah, those are the corporate entities, and the PAC was called Justice Democrats. And the PAC was paying into the same two corporate entities that were running all of the staff for the 12 Democratic campaigns. And Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and her chief of staff were two of the three board members on the PAC board. And
which raises questions about collusion and coordination, which would be illegal.
Yeah, it's very hard to see. You know, typically when a vendor is doing work for both campaigns and for PACs, they've got to have an internal firewall between the staff that are working for the PAC and the staff that's working for the campaign if they're engaged in the same race. Otherwise, they would be engaged in illegal coordination. And, of course, the question here is, how can you have a firewall when it's literally the same personnel on both sides? When the PAC board is the candidate and her campaign manager in one of the races that the same LLC is working on. So I think they've got a huge problem there.
Phil, the PAC and the campaign wouldn't be located in the same exact facility. Not only would they not have the same people, they wouldn't be operating out of the exact same offices. The PAC would be one place and the campaign would be operating somewhere else. You wouldn't have a physical coexistence in addition to the personnel coexistence.
That would be very unusual. I mean, I have seen it where, like, they might be on different floors of the same building or something like that, which raises eyebrows, but they claim that they maintain a firewall. Here we don't see anything like that. I don't see how they could even claim that there was a firewall between PAC and campaign personnel, because they've got all these public statements on their own website saying everything we did was for all our clients, everything we built was for all the candidates, and they're getting paid in by PAC dollars. So I do think they have a coordination problem here. They also have apparent reporting violations, and they could have enormous issues as well because, as you mentioned, her boyfriend was getting paid by one of these entities.
And we don't know how much he may have been being paid. That may have been just to shuffle money to her. Now, this chief of staff who ran this operation, who is now the chief of staff for Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, no indication that he was like living or working in Knoxville. That's just where the entities were doing their business. But this Saikat Chakrabarty is now the chief of staff for Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. But they're paying him way below what other chiefs of staff are being paid, so he doesn't have to fill out all the documents that reveal what he's invested in, where his money comes from, what insider trading he may be doing. He's basically operating almost off book to hide what he's doing.
Yeah, correct. You know, she made this big announcement on how she was going to overpay her junior staff. So I think everyone in her office is going to make over $50,000, even, you know, the receptionist answering the phones. And she's going to underpay her senior staff. So essentially, instead of making, you know, $120,000 or whatever it normally is, her senior staffers are only making, you know, 60 or 70 or something. But the point here that's been raised by the National Legal and Policy Center is that by lowering the pay of her senior staff, she's got them below the threshold amount for filing financial disclosures, which means they could be being paid by these other outside entities or have other sources of income that are not being disclosed.
Now, Phil, it appears that part of the scheme of this new American Congress business, they literally recruited candidates to run against Democrats and try to beat them in primaries. I think of the 16, 17 they recruited, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was the only one who won. And in large part, that was because only about 25,000 people voted in her primary. She won 15,000 to 10 against an incumbent that really didn't. He took it for granted. None of the others ran and won. But the way they selected their candidates was interesting. They kind of put out a casting call, and you submitted your video, and they basically looked at telegenic, charismatic folks that they could then craft a campaign to, kind of like qualifying to get on Survivor or something.
Yeah, their concept was that they were going to essentially recreate the Bernie Sanders campaign, but for congressional elections, and run it through this centralized operation there in Knoxville. And then they were just going to sort of have a franchise, a front man in each or woman in each congressional district, and they would sort of just plug them in to this existing back end that they were building, you know, through these LLCs and PACs.
So essentially the candidates were fungible. You know, they were just trying to pick somebody who looked good, would sound good, and then, you know, they'd plug in and say whatever they wanted them to say.
I don't think they expected to win any of these races. I think this was more an organizing effort. They were going to build up their sort of their left-wing advocacy grassroots capacity, and I think they were probably as surprised as anyone that they actually won one of these races. That might be why their legal structure is so questionable. They didn't expect the scrutiny that comes with winning.
And nobody would look if they lost. Well, now you've got Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez saying she's making her list, checking it twice. I guess she's kind of like the evil Santa, to figure out what Democrats have stepped out of line that she and this crew want to primary. I assume they won't relocate again on Gay Street in Knoxville just because the heat and the scrutiny's on. But it sounds like they're going to do the same scheme to take on Democrats who've stepped out of line in their view.
Yeah, they're gone from that location, and it's unclear to me whether they actually ever took occupancy in that address or whether they just used it as a mail drop. People have sort of suggested both ways. I'm trying to get to the bottom of that right now. We do know they had at least one staffer on the ground there in Knoxville, a guy named Corbin Trent, who was a Knoxville resident and ran Knoxville for Bernie Sanders, who's now moved to Washington and is AOC's communications director. So the one person we know for a fact was in Knoxville has moved to Washington to go on her staff. I don't think they'll set up in Knoxville again, but yeah, look, they want to do this to other Democrats. They want to challenge them. As I said, there's very little space to the left of most Democrats these days. But when you go sort of full communism, hardcore socialist, you can get to the left of even most Democrats, and that's their game plan, is to try to scare them even further left than they already are, and to serve as enforcers. But as you pointed out, it's pretty hard to actually pull this off successfully. There's a reason it only worked in one of the, you know, 15 or 20 races they targeted last time, and it was the one where they sort of had an incumbent who was asleep at the wheel. So, you know, I don't know how much power she actually has, but Steve, she put out this totally insane Green New Deal, and all their presidential candidates signed on to it.
Including Senator Hirano from Hawaii, who apparently wants to destroy the tourism industry in Hawaii by making sure we don't have airplanes so people can either take a slow boat
out.
Or
build a train out there. I don't know.
They got all that extra money in California now, since they're not going to build the train there. They can build the one across the Pacific.
Well, they're trying to keep them. That's one of the best things. I love that Trump is taking that money back, by the way. That's amazing. And Elaine Chao got that. By the way, our Secretary of Transportation, probably my favorite cabinet member, she got the letter out demanding the money back in 3 working days, because the governor gave that speech, then we had the President's Day weekend, and the Tuesday after got it back. I mean, that's pretty good. In government, to get something like that done in a couple of days, that's pretty impressive.
That's lightning speed, as you and I both have worked in and around government in Washington. The bureaucracy never moves that quickly. This Corbin Trent guy, you mentioned him. Is he the guy that went to work in this campaign apparatus after his food truck burned up? Okay, yeah, so he has a big, strong...
Yeah, that's the guy.
Great background. Real quickly, Phil, what happens next? I mean, yesterday I loved watching just your tweet stream of it was almost like one of those serial radio shows or TV shows in the past. It was like, okay, what's going to come next? What's Phil going to tweet next?
What happens when you do one of these tweets and people start paying it, then everyone just starts sending you stuff. So it becomes really easy to add to it,
So what happens next?
Well, I'd like to find out whether they actually took occupancy there and how many people they might have had working there, and figure that out, who the people might have been, and we'll see. We've got people down there looking into that, and I think the...
They were just down there to go to the UT basketball game yesterday. You all are jumping on Johnny Come Lately to the Vols, man. I know why they were there.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I really want to see this question of coordination addressed, and whether this structure, having the same personnel on the PAC side and the campaign side paying into a vendor, can pass legal muster. I think that's where there's a real potential problem for them.
We're going to keep track of it. You keep us posted. AmericanCommitment.org, AmericanCommitment.org, and be sure to go to Phil Kirpin on Twitter, and you'll find the news that others are ignoring or just can't find. Phil, good to have you back with us, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, have a good one.
Thank you. 615-737-9522, the phone number. This is the Tennessee Star Report, and we'll be right back.